This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
All right, let's stand together and take your copy of God's Word and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Over the next several Wednesday nights leading into December, I'm going to be preaching on the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. Not only the power that we experience from God, that God forgives us, but also the ability for us to forgive one another. And so tonight we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want you to look at verse number 18 and following down through the text. So when you're there, I want you to say amen. All right, looks like everybody's there. 2 Corinthians 5, and let's look at verse 18. The Bible says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ," and this is important, listen now, "and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." The Bible says to wit, or to know, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The scripture says in verse 20, "Now then are we ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." And let's just end with verse 21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Great word tonight from the Apostle Paul. You can be seated. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And tonight I'm going to talk about winning with forgiveness. Winning with forgiveness. The forgiveness we're going to talk about tonight is not only the forgiveness that we experience from God, but also the forgiveness that we need to be able to grant others. I really believe with all my heart that there is a problem in the church today, and that problem is a spirit of unforgiveness. And when we begin learning to forgive one another and even forgive ourselves for our faults, our failures, our mishaps, how we've sinned against the Lord, it's only then that we're going to begin to experience the power of God. So tonight, I want to talk about winning with forgiveness. Not only the forgiveness that God gives us, but the forgiveness that we extend others also. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, and Lord, I'm thankful for those that are here tonight. I know the weather is bad, it's very cold outside, but Lord, they have ventured out here tonight hungry for the word of God. Lord, for their families to experience the things of God, whether it's in our children's environment, Lord, whether it's upstairs with our teens, the college and career, or in this auditorium, Lord, they have come desiring for their family and themselves to hear and to heed the word of God. So I pray, Lord, that you'd use me tonight to be a teacher and a preacher, a shepherd, Lord, of your people as we lead them, Lord, through the scripture. I pray that you would give us power from on high, God, that you would anoint us, Lord, and help us to understand the power and the beauty, Lord, of your wonderful forgiveness, Lord, that you give us, and then you command us to extend to others also. We will thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people can say, amen. Now, there was one of the preachers in Chicago. They called him the Prince of Preachers back in the early days of the 1860s and so forth. He was a man of God. He was on fire, and his name was D.L. Moody. Now, D.L. Moody was on fire for the Lord, and D.L. Moody preached all over the world. God used him not only as a pastor, but also as an evangelist. And as a pastor and evangelist, Moody seen a lot of things that was happening within the church. And Moody believed that there was one sin that was holding the church back from experiencing revival. He believed there was one sin that was holding people back from experiencing power in prayer and from the church experiencing revival. In his own words, this is what he said. He said, "I believe that the sin that is causing Christians more difficulty than any other is the sin of an unforgiving spirit." Let me say it again. He said, I believe that the sin that is causing Christians more difficulty than any other sin is the sin of an unforgiving spirit. Now, I don't know exactly if that's true or not, but I'm pretty sure he's probably about 95% right, that sin is a troubling sin within the church. It's a troubling sin for me, and it's a troubling sin for you. It seems like that we are living in the day where there is unforgiveness. We want the forgiveness of God, and we want God's pleasure, and we want God's grace, but when it comes to you and I forgiving somebody else that has wronged us, well, that's another story. You need to know this tonight, that an unforgiving spirit prevents you from walking in the Spirit. There is absolutely no way that you can walk in step with God when you are harboring bitterness within your heart. When you have an unforgiving spirit, you've got bitterness and resentment and even anger on the inside of your heart. How can you walk with God and be in step with God when you are dealing with bitterness? How can you be on mission with God when you are angry on the inside and bitter on the inside? An unforgiving spirit prevents a person from being able to walk in the Spirit. Because when you have an unforgiving spirit and you've got bitterness and anger and resentment in your heart, well, that's not walking in the Spirit. That's what the Bible calls walking in the flesh. And when you are walking in the flesh, Paul tells us there is consequences to walking in the flesh. Listen to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and verse number 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of his flesh, underline it, reap corruption. But he that sows of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The corruption that Paul is talking about there in that text is not talking about corruption in hell. He's talking about the corruption that you experience in this life. He is saying that when you sow to the flesh, you will reap of the flesh, and the corruption that he speaks of here is a ruined and a wrecked life. If you've got an unforgiving spirit and you're mad and angry at somebody, you've got bitterness and resentment in your heart, you're harboring anger on the inside, I want you to know that you are sowing to the flesh, and Paul says there is consequences for that. It's going to cause a ruined and a wrecked life. Notice the text. The Bible says, for he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. As I was reading this week and studying a little bit, I came across Dr. Charles Stanley's book, a great book on forgiveness written back in 1991. And I have read that book several times over in the past several years of my life. It's one of the earliest books that I got when I started preaching. And I remembered something that he said, which actually gave me the title for my sermon today. Listen to what he says. He says, those persons who have not come to grips with the concept of forgiveness have been the very, or let me start over. Those persons who have not come to grips with the concept of forgiveness have, by the very nature of unforgiveness, listen, set themselves up to walk according to the flesh. When that happens, they are losers every time. By withholding patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, and the rest, the individual is held hostage by the flesh and thus is the ultimate loser. Let me ask you tonight, do you want to be a winner or do you want to be a loser? If you want to be a loser, then you keep harboring those old selfish attitudes that you have, that bitterness, that anger, and that resentment that you just can't let go of. You're saying, well, Brother David, you don't understand how that person hurt me. They hurt my family. They hurt my reputation. They hurt me at church. You just don't understand the dilemma and the pain that I went through. I want you to know, friend, if Jesus Christ could suffer on our behalf, we need to be willing to suffer for him. Somebody say amen. And one of the greatest attributes of God is the attribute of forgiveness. And when you are forgiving and you are loving and you are being kind and you are living up to the expectation that God set down for us in Matthew chapter number 5, which was the Beatitudes, and those are attitudes that ought to be, I want you to know that's when the glory of Christ radiates in the life of the church, when we are living our lives like Jesus. You say amen if you you agree. The Bible tells us, for he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Do you want to be a winner or do you want to be a loser? You see, I believe that Stanley is right. An unforgiving spirit is going to prevent you from experiencing the joy of the Lord. You're never going to know the freshness. You're never going to know the beauty. You're never going to know the spontaneity of working for God if you walk in here each and every time and you're just harboring this bitterness on the inside. It may be bitterness between you and your a mate. It might be bitterness within your family. You might be angry at the preacher, angry at your teacher, angry at a deacon, angry at a choir member. There's something there that you're just angry over, and you sit here in protest of the Spirit of God moving in your life. How can you continue to walk in the flesh and expect God to bless and expect God to use you? You will never experience the joy of the Lord or the work that God has called you to do as long as you are living with an attitude of unforgiveness. If you want to be a winner tonight and not a loser, you need to learn to forgive, because forgiveness is the key that opens up the door to spiritual victory. Let me say it again. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door to spiritual victory. You say, well, Brother David, I'm going to forgive that person, but the circumstances are not going to change. It's not going to change what happened in the past. It's not going to change those hurtful words that they said. I can forgive them tonight, but what good is there forgiving them? The circumstances are not going to change. Even if I go to the altar tonight and I pray and I tell God that I forgive these people, well, they're still going to be my enemy. They're not going to be my friend. There's still going to be a division. Nothing's going to change. So why forgive? Your circumstances may not change, but there's something that will, and it's you. When you come to the altar and you get on your face before God and you tell God, Lord, I want to offer forgiveness. I forgive them for those hurtful words. I forgive them for the hateful acts. Lord, I forgive them. Lord, you're never going to release me to be all that I need to be for you unless I get rid of this unforgiveness, this negative attitude that's bringing me down. The Bible talks about forgiveness and unforgiveness all throughout the scripture. Jesus tells us, in his teaching on prayer in Luke chapter 11, verse number 4, you remember this, he said this. He told us to pray and forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Do we? Lord, I want you to forgive me, but I'm not going to forgive that one that has hurt me, that has come up against me, that has hurt my heart, hurt my ministry, hurt my family. Lord, they've done me so wrong. Wait a minute. Jesus told us to pray and forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted unto us. And I thought this was interesting. When Jesus is talking about forgiveness and prayer, he tells us in the very next sentence, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, I think the devil tempts us to have an unforgiving spirit, because when we're mad and we're angry and we're bitter, we feel like we're in control. We feel like we're the ones that has control of the situation. Being angry is a way that we can lash out. Being bitter is a way that we can sever the relationship. And so we want to hang on to that. We want to be mad. We want to be angry. We want to be bitter. And Jesus said, when you pray, he said, ask God to help you not to be led into temptation and to deliver you from evil. It is evil for you to harbor an unforgiving spirit. It is downright wrong. It is sin against God. It is contrary to the nature of God, and it is certainly contrary to the nature of the church. Jesus said, when you pray, we are to ask for forgiveness. But also remember, we're to forgive everyone that's indebted to us. Now, that was a teaching of Jesus. And that teaching of Jesus was picked up by the apostles of Jesus Christ and the apostle Paul. The apostle Paul wrote to the church at Colossae and said this, chapter 3 and verse number 13, forbearing one another, and what's the next two words or three words? Forgiving one another. Can we read this out loud? I don't want you falling asleep. Read it together with me. Forbearing one another, say it now, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ has forgiven you, so also do ye. Let's read it one more time. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, for some of you tonight, that's a big pill to swallow. For some of you, you're like, oh, man, I didn't know that verse was in the Bible. You know, you say, Brother David, do I have to forgive them? Do I have to come to terms with what's going on? According to the scripture, yes. Let me read you another verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and verse 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Listen now, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Are you hearing that tonight? The Bible says that I'm to be kind, I'm to be tenderhearted, I'm to be forgiving, because as Christ has forgiven me, I'm to forgive you. Now that's tough for us to swallow, because our human nature, it is not to forgive. Somebody slaps us, we want to slap back. Somebody does us wrong, we want to do them wrong back. Somebody hurts us, we want to hurt them back. It doesn't matter if it's friend or foe or family. It is our nature, is it not? Somebody comes up against you, it is our natural tendency to fight back. One of the ways that the world sees the power of Christ is by you and I not fighting back. I have a good friend of mine, his name was Frank King, and me and Frank were crane operators at the mill that I worked at in Chicago. And Frank was a preacher, and he went to the First Baptist Church of Hammond, and Dr. Jack Hiles was his pastor. While he was serving there on the ministry and being on the soul-winning team and reaching out to people, Frank's wife was in a car wreck, and in that car wreck, she died. And the person that she got in a wreck with was an individual that was drunk. And that drunken alcoholic killed his wife, and she died. Frank became a little bitter. He began praying and asking God to help him with his bitterness. And the only way that he felt like that he could overcome his bitterness was to forgive that woman for taking his wife's life. Do you imagine this? He was able to set up an appointment with a prison guard. He was able to go to the prison and actually visit the person that took his wife's life. And as they sat there and they talked and they conversed with one another, he began telling her about Jesus and the love of God and the love of Christ. And Frank King won that drunkard who took his wife's life. He won her to Jesus Christ in that prison. Because he felt like, if I don't forgive her, if I don't reach out and help her, that this bitterness is going to eat me up, that this bitterness is going to take control. If I'm going to be all that God wants me to be, I've got to release her and let her go and forgive her, because he knew that his wife was in the hands of God. He knew that his wife was strolling all over heaven with Jesus. He knew that she was saved. And so he said, Lord, if I'm going to get rid of this forgiveness, if I'm going to get rid of this bitterness, I've got to forgive. I've got to release it and let it go. And I'm telling you tonight, what was good for Frank King is good for you. Whether it's your family, whether it's a friend or a foe tonight, you've got to forgive them. You've got to let it go and let God. You will never walk in the spirit as long as you are walking in the flesh. You will never be what God wants you to be as long as you harbor an unforgiving spirit in your heart and your life. If you're mopping up what I'm spilling, somebody say amen. This is what the Bible has to say. The Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, let it be put away with you. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Well, tonight I want you to see in Scripture tonight that the Bible is filled with passages and commands that calls us to forgive people. We are to forgive one another based upon the forgiveness that we have received from God. Because God has forgiven us of such a weight of sin and rescued us from hell, we ought to be able to, listen, we ought to be able to exercise forgiveness and have the love of God within our hearts. I want you to look at the text tonight, and we're going to look at two things that Paul says here within this text. Paul outlines a couple fundamental elements related to forgiveness. The first thing that he talks about the ministry of reconciliation. Look at verse 18. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself." Now, to reconcile means to change from one direction to another direction. And we were on our way to hell. We were enemies of God. We were anti-God. We were anti-gospel. We were on our way to hell, but through the cross of Jesus Christ, God has reconciled us by the power of Christ, not by our power, but by God's power. God has reconciled us. He's taken us off a path of destruction, and he has turned our faces towards heaven. The Bible says it is God who has reconciled us. And aren't you glad tonight that God changed your direction? Some of you are on a dangerous path. You were on your way to hell. You was allowing alcohol and pornography and drugs and worldly things to take you on a path, leading you away from God, going to hell, dying, lost without God, an enemy of God, an enemy of the Bible. But God rescued you. And when God saved you and arrested your heart, he reconciled you. That is, he turns you from this direction and he turns you to that direction. The Bible says all things of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. How? By Jesus Christ. I am so thankful for the cross of Christ. I'm thankful that God has reconciled us through the power of the cross and the resurrection of his Son. Verse 18 now says, "And now he has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation." When Paul talks about the fundamentals of forgiveness, without a doubt, the ministry of reconciliation ought to be seen within the life of the church. You say, well, what is that? It is the believer's task. The ministry of reconciliation is the believer's task. Look at verse 18 again. The Bible says, he has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Go down to chapter 6 and verse number 1. "We then, as workers together with him." You need to underline that. "We then, as workers together." I want you to know, folks, we need one another tonight. It is God's plan. We need one another. We are working together. And the Bible says we are working together with him. "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you, as also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." We are to work together. And that togetherness is the ministry of reconciliation. It is the believer's task. We are working together to take sinners from moving in this direction to move in that direction. Now, how are we going to get sinners to move from this direction into the direction towards God when we are harboring bitterness and resentment and anger and unforgiveness in our heart? How are you going to be used of God? If the ministry of reconciliation is given to all of us, and you're just mad on the inside, you're walking in the flesh, you're not walking in the spirit, how are you going to be able to shine the light of the gospel? How are you going to be able to tell others about Christ? I want you to know tonight, it's not by our power that we see people saved. It's not by my intellect or my skill or my means. It's by the power of Christ resting upon us. If you believe that, say amen. And so the Bible says we are working together. Together with who? Together with him. For the ministry of reconciliation, so people can find forgiveness. It is the task of the believer. Second of all, he talks about the ministry of the message of reconciliation. And this would be the teaching of the believer. We have a task and we have a teaching. We have the ministry and we have a message. And the message is we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Look at me in verse number 20. "Now then are we ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us." That is, it's like God begging you we're begging you on the behalf of God. "We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Paul says we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, what does it mean to be an ambassador for Christ? It means that you've got a special message from a different land. And God calls us as believers of Jesus Christ to organize the ministry of reconciliation and also to preach the message of reconciliation, that there is forgiveness in the cross of Calvary. If you believe that tonight, I want you to say amen. And so I'm going to pick up on Dr. Stanley's quote there. I want to be a winner. In order to be a winner, I've got to be engaged in these things. I've got to be involved in the message of reconciliation. I certainly have to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. Well, how does all that start and how does all that begin? It starts and begins with forgiveness. When God forgives me and takes away my sin, he puts within me a deep desire to tell others about Jesus. Does he not? I remember the first thing that I wanted to do when I got saved, I wanted to call my preacher. And I remember calling Dr. Ed Moore that night and getting him on the phone. It was late at night. And I told my pastor that I had trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That weight of sin had come off. That burden had come off. And my first impulse and my first desire was to tell somebody else what Jesus has done for me. You know what? I'm sure if you were to testify tonight, all of you would say, I was the same way, Brother David. I couldn't wait to tell my mom and dad that I got saved at Bible camp or vacation Bible school. I couldn't wait to tell my grandma or my grandpa that God saved me during Awanas. I couldn't wait to tell my friends and my family that God saved me at church. And there was something on the inside that was bubbling up that had to work its way out on the outside. You were saved. Well, what happens to that? And what has happened to that? The Bible teaches us we ought to be ambassadors, soul winners for Jesus Christ. Never give up, never give out, never give in, but be on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that tonight, I want to hear you say amen. Well, what about this forgiveness tonight? Well, first of all, let me start with the bad news. You say there's bad news concerning forgiveness? Yeah, there's some bad news concerning forgiveness. And here's the bad news tonight. The forgiveness of God doesn't mean that he's going to ignore your sin. Now, as wonderful as the forgiveness of God is, it doesn't mean that he's going to ignore your sin. There are people that are living their life today saying, well, it'll be all right. I'll go ahead and drink a little bit. I'll go ahead and dabble in some pornography. I'll go ahead and smoke a little dope. I'll go ahead and have an affair. I'll go ahead and do this and do that. God's going to forgive me anyhow because he's such a loving God. I want you to know God is a loving God, but God's forgiveness doesn't mean that he's going to ignore your sin. Listen to the Bible, Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. God says tonight, if you've got an unforgiving spirit, if you've got that malice and bitterness and hatred and resentment and anger in your heart, God says, as many as I love, I rebuke them and I chasten them. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and verse number 6, and have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receives. Now your parents were probably like my parents. Do you remember when your parents would spank you? And I do have to show a raise of hands. I've told you before, my mom and dad, they didn't believe in timeout. They believed in knock you out. You know, it was just the rule within my house, all right? And my parents did spankings. Now, they didn't beat us, but they certainly did spank us. And I'll never forget, your parents probably did the same thing. They'd set you down and talk to you. Now, I'd rather for my mom and dad to spank me before they talk to me, because my dad was one of the guys who's going to pull the Bible out. And so not only is he going to spank me, but he's going to preach me a sermon. And I was just dreading it. And he'd make us read the scripture out loud and put our finger on it. Me and Billy had to read it out loud. And he'd always say this, now, son, this is going to hurt me worse than it's going to hurt you. I want you to know that I love you, but I'm going to have to spank you tonight, and this is going to hurt me probably more than it's going to hurt you. And I always wanted to have the courage to say, well, Dad, why are you going to be so hard on yourself tonight, you know? You know, hey, let bygones be bygones, you know? Let's erase this off. Hey, kuna matata, you know? Let's go watch TV, you know? Let's go do something else. Don't be so hard on yourself. And my dad, he would begin to spank me. Now, I was one of those guys, I hated the spanking. My brother, he would just kind of take it, you know? I guess Bill was maybe a little tougher back in those days, and he would just kind of take it, you know? Me, on the other hand, I'm running up Dad's sleeve, down his pant leg over here. I'm running kind of laps around, and you know, my mom's fanning him with a fan, you know, because he's got an aerobic workout going on, and he's swinging, and he's missing half the time, and you know, he's working up a sweat, and she's even patting his bald head with a towel every once in a while because he sweats so bad, and he's trying to give me a spank, and I'm just running all over the place going, "Daddy, daddy, 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 you know, don't do this," and finally he'd get a hold of me, and he would give me that spanking. And I can remember the pain that would come as a result of the spanking. And Dad would always say this, "The pain is to remind you that I love you, and I love you enough to correct you." I want you to know sometimes God has to chasten us. And when God chastens us, God doesn't beat us. He knows exactly how to land the stroke, does he not? He knows exactly the right amount of pressure to put on all of us. But God chastens us because he loves us, and he corrects us. And the pain is to remind me that I'm not to go down that path any longer. He says, "My son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, neither faint when you are rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son that he receives." What is he saying? God, yes, God will forgive, but it doesn't mean that God is going to ignore your sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32, "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." What's the bad news concerning forgiveness? Yes, God forgives us, but we can't live our lives saying, "Well, I'm just going to do it anyhow. God's so loving and God's so kind, he's going to forgive me." I want you to know the forgiveness of God does not mean that he's going to ignore your sin. God will forgive, but you've got the consequences of your sin to deal with. Let's just say tonight there's a young girl who loves Jesus and a young guy who loves Jesus, and they're not married and they're dating and they're trying to do their best to walk with God and to live for God, but they allow their passions to get away with them in the heat of a moment. And all of a sudden, weeks later, they find out that the girl is expecting a baby. You say, "Brother David, can God forgive a couple for having sex outside of marriage? Is it possible for God to forgive them?" I want you to know that God can, and God will forgive them if they call upon the Lord. If you believe that, say amen. There's no sin that we're able to commit that God's not going to be able to reach down and help us to get back on our feet. Yes, God will forgive them if they truly say, "Lord, we are sorry and we are repentant of that. We shouldn't have done that. We should have waited, Lord. We should have saved ourselves. We should have been pure and did the right thing. Lord, forgive us." Will God forgive? Yes. But the consequences of that sin is 9 months later, there's going to be a little boy or a little girl, or maybe even both, that they're going to have to raise as a family. I want you to know, friend, God forgives, but there is the consequences of our sin. So don't live your life saying, "Well, God's such a loving God and a kind and tender, benevolent God. He will forgive me." Forgiveness does not mean that God ignores our sin. God will chasten us. So that's the bad news concerning forgiveness. Let me give you the blessed news concerning forgiveness. I was reminded of this old song today as I was in my office in the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see, for 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. Aren't you glad that God pardoned you? Aren't you glad that God sanctifies you? Aren't you glad that the work of the cross, Jesus dying on our behalf, it has brought us blessed forgiveness, a wonderful assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste, the writer said, of glory divine. You know, the Bible teaches that God is able to justify sinners because of the work that Christ has done on Calvary. Look at Daniel chapter 9, verse number 9. The Bible says, "To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him." To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness. Even though we've rebelled against God, God still can give us mercy and forgiveness. I was reading Romans chapter 4 this afternoon, and Romans 4 verse 5 says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." What got me was "on him that justifies the ungodly." This is the blessed news of forgiveness, that no matter how far you've gone, no matter what you have done in this life, that God can forgive you of your sins. Romans 4, verse 7 tells us he covers our transgression. Verse number 8 of the same chapter, he declares us righteous and completely forgiven in the eyes of God. He uses the word imputed righteousness, and that word imputed there means that God has charged it to Christ's account, that God has laid my sin and your sin on Jesus Christ so that I can find forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I say hallelujah to that. I am so grateful that I know tonight without a shadow of a doubt that my sins has been forgiven. I know that God will chasten us. I know that he will chasten us, but he will not charge us with sin. When I stand before him, I'm not going to have to worry about my sin. I'm not going to have to worry about that sin nature. It has been forever washed away and forgiven in the detergent of God's blood, and I am so glad that I'm not charged with sin. I stand righteous before God, not because of who I am, but because of Christ living on the inside of us. And so I can say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Not only do we see tonight the blessedness of forgiveness and the bad news concerning forgiveness, but let me give you the best news of all concerning forgiveness. The best news is this: you can find forgiveness today. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what's happened in your life, no matter how long you have held onto that unforgiving spirit, no matter how long you've held on to that bitterness and that anger and that resentment, you can find forgiveness today. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it great to know that you can bow your knee and all the things that you have messed up on, all the things that's gone wrong in your life, that God will listen and God will hear and God will heal? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and verse number 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." The best thing that you can do tonight is learn about God's love and learn about God's passion and his plan for your life. The Bible says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest." Ye shall find rest. Some of you tonight, you've been struggling with that bitterness and resentment and anger for so long. And in your spirit and your soul, you're just longing for some type of rest. The only way you're going to find rest, you've got to release that unforgiving spirit to God tonight. The Bible says, "And you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy." And God says, "My burden is light." Do you know why God's burden is light tonight? It's because he walks with you. Through that despair and all of that anguish in your soul, that broken relationship with your family, that broken relationship with a friend, whatever it may be, whatever is happening in your life, God says, "My yoke is easy, my burden's light," because I'm there to carry that burden with you. Forgiveness, this is some of the best news. The best news that we can have today, that no matter what's happened in my life, I can fall to my knees and God hears my prayer. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him." Listen, the Bible says, "I will sup with him and he with me." Tonight, can you hear it? God standing at your door tonight of your heart. He's knocking on that door, passionately waiting for you to open up the door of your heart and let him in. You hear the knock, but you're hanging on to that bitterness. You hear the knock, but you're going to hang on to that anger. You hear the knock, but you're going to hang on to that resentment. And God stands there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, calling out to you, "Coming to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's knocking at your heart's door tonight. Why don't you stop? why don't you stop tonight and open up the door and let him in? You can either be a loser or be a winner. You can continue walking in the power of the flesh, not being used of God, not knowing the blessings of God, hanging on to that bitterness that's corrupting your soul, or you can be a winner tonight and open up the door and find sweet release and ask God to clean your life up, ask God to help you to be all that you need to be. He can give you victory tonight. The choice is yours. We can win tonight through the power of God's marvelous forgiveness. If you believe it, say amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.